Footy Roundup episode 6. The boys are back. It feels like it's been a little bit of time since we've been back on the air, but we're just over a week into the World Cup now. We've seen some exciting results, some great comebacks. Also, Maddie, some great controversy. Today, we watched your England side fall 2-1 to Uruguay. It hurt to see you like that, my friend. What are your thoughts on the match?
Disappointment is definitely the first word that comes to mind. I felt England definitely deserved a point, if not all three today. I also goes for the same for the Italy game. To be honest, Rob, it's actually disappointing because aside from the results, we've played so well, and we still haven't been able to snag a single point in two games yet. I mean, this is the best I've seen England play in a while. Today, I mean, Phil Jagielka had an absolute nightmare out there. I'd say he was at fault for both goals. Felt Joe Hart went down a little early for the second goal. Wayne Rooney missing two sitters. Finally snagged, bagged the third one to get England on the board. But, you know, a late goal as well, you know, last 5-6 minutes of the game, it stings. And, you know, our chances of getting out of the group now are slim to none, unfortunately.
I do feel that you are correct today. I think you could argue that England did deserve a little better. They maybe should have gotten the draw. But I guess to play devil's advocate, and from Uruguay's perspective, they came off a tough loss. Suarez came back and was phenomenal and very impactful in this game. And realistically, Matt, you said it. Rooney missed two sitters again. Like, he scored the third one, but to be one of England's top guns. And where was Gerrard? Like, yeah, did he do anything today?
I don't think Stevie G had his best stuff today. You know, I think up front, though, I think, you know, both games looked really good. I mean, aside from, you know, the Rooney struggles, if you will, of goal scoring, I think Sturridge and Welbeck have looked great. I think Raheem Sterling has been brilliant. It's a shame his fitness doesn't seem to be where it needs to be, because if he can go 90 minutes, he'd be great. He was fantastic against Italy. Struggled a little more today. You know, but I've said it all along, England's demise in this World Cup is always going to be their defense, and it cost them today. They were atrocious at the back. You know, Uruguay had a few chances. I wouldn't say they created too much. You know, they had the two goals. Cavani had a few shots. Rodriguez's left footer just simming over the bar in the first half. But, you know, back to the Rooney thing, you know, if he buries that header, England are 1-0 up, first half, you know, looking pretty good, and, you know, unfortunately wasn't to be, I guess.
I think on the balance of chances today, I'd be hard-pressed to argue that a draw wouldn't have been the most just result. I think both teams missed some, like, really good chances. Like you said, Cavani did spray just over, Rooney sprayed just over in his own defense and the free kick that he had in the first half.
Yep, yeah, good point.
It's just a shame, I guess, from Rooney's perspective and maybe England fans' perspective as well. It's what we talked about there. Attack and youth going forward has, I think, been a positive, but it's almost been negated by, at times, shaky keeping and really, really poor defending.
I mean, if you can't stop the ball from going in the net, you haven't got much of a chance, right? So, you know, I'm disappointed, of course, but it's England in the major soccer international tournament. Failure seems to be our way. So
you're not quite out yet, though.
We're not. I mean, obviously, pending, you know, the Italy-Costa Rica game tomorrow, England still will have a shot, assuming one of those two teams does win.
So you're going to be draped in Azzurri colors tomorrow?
Yeah, on Italy's bandwagon tomorrow. I mean, with all due respect to Costa Rica, you know, it'd be more beneficial, really, if Italy win that game, because then, you know, England play Costa Rica in their last game. If England could beat them, they might have a chance still.
But I think the only result that officially eliminates you would be a draw, right?
Yeah, it would be, yeah, because both Italy and Costa Rica would be on 4 points, and we'd have zero with a game left. So is what it is. England struggles at a major tournament. For you, though, Rob, you've had a little more success. Croatia have won a game. They've lost a game amid very, very controversial circumstances. So how have you seen the World Cup so far on your Croatian side?
I think they bounced back really well. The Cameroon game, they created a ton. They were only up 1-0, you know, which is what I've been hearing a lot before. You know, Song got sent off after absolutely losing his mind against Mandzukic in midfield. I don't know what he was thinking. But I never really...
Bonehead things.
Oh, absolutely. I never really felt that Croatia was all that much threatened. Like, I felt very comfortable at 1-0 that even pre-red card, maybe we kind of, like, skate away with, like, a 2-0 victory. It felt kind of comfortable and in hand. It was nice after that they didn't just kind of sit back and knock the ball around. They kept pressing forward to try to be positive, to try to get the confidence up, because, I mean, realistically, it sets up a really vital clash with Mexico now.
Well, I mean, the good thing, for Croatia now is that they know what they have to do.
Yeah.
You know, they win, they're through. I mean, that's... In a way, that's kind of an ideal situation. Whereas Mexico are like, oh, well, if we get a draw, we can make it through. So in a way, they might be a little more defensive, where Croatia is just going to go all out and think, hey, we may as well lose 3-0, but try and win the damn game.
I agree. I think Croatia is much better when they take the impetus and they push forward the creative forces of Modric. And as I mentioned to you, Rakitic, who's now signed for Barcelona, actually.
Yep, he has.
those two guys, I think, can really dictate the tempo. I can't see Mexico bunkering all that successfully like a Greece-type team would. I think there's going to be goals in this game. Win, lose, or draw. 3-2, 2-1. Honestly, none of that would surprise me.
Yeah, you know, Mexico are more of an attacking team. I think it'd be hard for them to sit back and, like try and play for a draw. I don't really see them. That's not really in their blood. And like you said, Croatia are just good going forward anyway. So, and they got to take it. They got to take the game to Mexico. So, you know, it's going to be, like you said, I think it'll be a few goals. And, you know, I mean,
we'll see what happens. It's probably going to be 50-50 realistically. Yeah,
it's a toss up in a way.
We said this at the start. We thought it was going to come down to this game, and it hasn't proven to be any difference. Matt, I have to be honest with you. I was tremendously disappointed, disgusted, frustrated, almost every type of descriptive word you can come up with for that opening game. I thought Croatia fought valiantly. I thought their tactics were good. I thought their work rate was excellent. Brazil was limited to chances primarily from the outside. In my estimation, the game turned on a questionable, at best, penalty call in favor of Brazil.
Yeah, it wasn't a penalty. It was, you know, probably one of the worst penalty decisions I've seen in a very long time. And, you know, I understand your frustration very much. I mean, I don't. It's, you're at a loss for words what you can really say in a way.
Yeah.
Because, you know, good or bad, it's never going to be a good situation. And, you know, the ref seems to stand by his decision, and, you know, I mean, he's wrong. I mean, I know you've looked around and see what's been said around the web about some, what the pundits have been saying about the decision. So,
yeah, it wasn't just that decision that bothered me. Realistically, I think Neymar unquestionably should have been straight red carded for his intentional elbow shot to Modric's throat. If you see the replay of the play, he stares right at him before he does mm-hmm. in the open field. I thought the Olic call for interfering with Cesar was questionable at best when Croatia would have made it 2-2.
Could have gone either way. I mean, as someone who's played in goal for 15 years, I liked the call because I was a goalie for so long. But
Matty, what bothered me was apparently I looked back on it, the call was handball. Like, Olic had his hands at his waist and went up head first. Like, it was, I can see what you mean with the goalie interference, but the ref didn't even call that.
Right.
And then the very next day, Van Persie did something almost textbook identical for the Dutch, and the goal stood. Just the lack of consistency is really ridiculous. I mean, the fouls were 21-5 in Brazil's favor. The shots were 14-10. Possession was pretty close. Very even game. I think for most neutrals out there, a 1-1 draw would have been fair. As you mentioned, some of the headlines that I've seen, Argentine Daily, they haven't minced their words at all. "Are you not ashamed?" was the headline that they had on the paper. "World class in diving," the Dutch Zeitung newspaper said. "Joke," said the Sports Bild. "Croatia robbed," said the Croatia Daily Novi List. Outcry at home about the penalty decision. Non-existent call from the French sports daily L'Equipe. So, I mean, neutrals across the world, I think, saw and knew what that was. I don't want to suggest, you know, that there was some type of collusion or anything like that. I mean, FIFA does have their own issues. I think we would be remiss to turn a blind eye to the fact that match fixing and corruption unfortunately does exist. It was doubly disappointing for me as a fan of Croatia, not just as a fan of Croatia, as a fan of soccer. Like, if Croatia won a game that way, honestly, I would be ashamed. It was collusion at worst and absolute incompetence at best, let's put it that way.
Right. I mean, the match fixing thing is, you know, I know you and I differ on our opinions on that, and that's not something we know we need to get into right now.
No.
But, you know, I guess you kind of, you know, in a way, it does creep across your mind. But, you know, at the same time, you like to think it was just a terrible error by the ref. This is always a problem with the World Cup. You bring all these different referees from different cultures who referee games entirely different. And, I mean, that's not a penalty in any country in the world.
And yellow card they gave Lovren, too, on the play.
Yeah, you know.
Yellow for Fred diving, if anything.
Right, exactly. But, you know, that's the World Cup, I guess. You know, when you bring different nationalities, you know, not even, you know, the refs, some of the referees aren't from countries that are even competing. So, you know, that the style of play across the world is always different, and that's sometimes what leads to some of these decisions.
The very next day, I mean, the same thing happened in Mexico. They were denied two clear goals against Cameroon. And, like, my own bias aside, you know, it was better for me for Mexico to not have those goals stand. And it just still didn't sit right with me at the end of the day. Like, you don't want to think about these things about being true. It's not like, you know, we're likely ever to know for sure, but it just makes you ponder. And it's unfortunate that you have to kind of consider, you know, the dark parts of such a beautiful game otherwise.
It is. I guess changing subject a little here and moving along. I guess the big news so far of the World Cup is that Spain are out. Two games, two losses, absolutely humbled by the Dutch.
just destroyed. That was a clinic. They weren't even in that match.
I've seen
they got a questionable penalty of their own, really.
Right. I mean, I've seen destruction derbies that weren't that violent. Like, I mean, it was, it was. I've never seen it. I was stunned. I never saw that coming. You and I, you know, when we made our predictions, we didn't even consider Spain not getting out of this group. It was down to Chile and Holland. And, well, I mean, Holland and Chile are going through. I mean, they two.
So we both look smart and stupid at the same time.
Yeah, I guess. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on the Spanish collapse? And I guess, you know, looking forward now, Euro 2016, how many of these guys are we going to really see suiting up again for the Spanish
side? I guess what really just stuns me is how convincing it was. Matt, yeah. We talked a few months ago, and I kind of did bring up the possibility that I said this would be kind of the end of Spain's reign, and I wouldn't be completely shocked if they went out of the group stage. I kind of changed my pick last second. We've each sort of done that a few times now, back and forth.
Yeah, we changed a couple of picks.
I mean, I did consider the possibility that they might be pipped or like knocked out by like a point here or there, but to go out the way they've gone out, like they're eliminated with a game to go.
I know.
Like, their last game is a glorified friendly against, actually, ironically enough, an Australia side we should talk about that looks really, they look really good in their own right, and they really fought and battled in these games.
That Australian side, Tim Cahill, has a player ever meant more to a one side than maybe Tim Cahill?
I can't imagine.
The guy is phenomenal. Something about when he pulls that Aussie shirt on, and he just goes. I mean,
Matty, on the topic of Cahill, here's a crazy stat for you. He has more World Cup goals than Rooney, Messi, and Ronaldo combined.
Insane.
It's I know he's played in a couple, but that is insane.
Well, I mean, Rooney's played in three World
Cups.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah.
You know, it's not like these guys are making their debuts. I mean, it's insane how much, like, how good Cahill is. And, I mean, he's probably scored already goal of the tournament, if not goal of maybe the last
half dozen
World Cup.
To what we've seen so far, it's got to be him or Van Persie's header against Spain.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably edge Cahill's because...
I agree with you.
What he did, not dismissing what Van Persie did either, but what Cahill did is the technique to do that.
One touch from a halfway line ball.
You just, I mean, it's not impossible, but I mean, that's something you're doing training 50 times and maybe hit once.
Yeah.
And the other 49, 48 times, whatever, we just
And
fly.
To pull it off just a minute after the Dutch took the lead from Robben.
I mean, talk about just a game-changing goal, right? I mean, it really was, and... That Australia just, you know, they've been great all tournament. I mean, I know they've lost two games, but they've brought a lot of life. I have some friends in Australia who have been super excited, you know, with what the Aussies have done. They've been getting up at 2 a.m. to watch games. And, you know, the Aussies love their football. They're actually getting better, too.
They are.
The A-League is coming along a little more now, especially with David Villa's going down there to play some games as part of his MLS deal with New York. So, you know, the Aussies, definitely a good showing. I guess the other big point of Group B is the Chilean team, how well they've done. Two wins out of two.
They started so fast in that Australia game. It looked like they were just going to absolutely run them and blow them out of the park.
Yeah, in a quarter of an hour.
I mean, as we mentioned, we don't want to focus too much on a team that lost two games, but I was just really impressed with the Aussies' performance. I mean, my own little bit of personal bias here, they have a strong Croatian influence in the squad, and they're big underdogs, so I often kind of pull for the Aussies whenever they're in a tournament. But Chile, very dangerous. I told you in the preview show that I thought they were a dark horse and someone who can cause a lot of trouble for people. My mind hasn't changed at all with what I've seen so far.
Arturo Vidal has been phenomenal.
Just a beast.
I mean, we always said, you know, in our preview shows that their chances come down to how well Vidal does, and he has been phenomenal. But, you know, Alexis Sanchez has been great. They're just, as a team, they've been phenomenal. I mean, I knew they'd be good. I didn't think they'd be this good, though.
You know which other one surprises me a little bit as to how great they've been thus far early on? Colombia without Falcao.
Yeah.
Like, they're just pumping goals in. Like, we knew it would be kind of a scoring by committee. Teofilo Gutierrez got things started for them against the Greeks. You and I were in agreement about the Greeks. A lot of people thought and were saying to us, like, bunker down. Like, you know, they got the European quality to pull through for second. I really never considered them as a legit threat in this group.
No, I mean, me neither here. I mean, Colombia, two wins out of two. Beat Greece 3-0, as you alluded to. And they beat Ivory Coast 2-1 earlier today.
Not a bad showing for Ivory Coast either. I mean, they got everything to play for here, and they got a win and a loss through their first two. They control everything themselves as well.
Yeah, and they had a good comeback win in their first game too, scoring twice in a couple of minutes to beat Japan.
Honda had a great strike in that game
too. He did. But how about the Ivory Coast? Like, Drogba didn't start, and they were kind of just chugging along. They weren't really doing too much. Bring Drogba on, boom, two goals and 3 minutes. I mean, Drogba didn't score either of them. Boney and Gervinho had the goals, but
I've always been presence, a big yes, absolutely.
His presence just—it's incredible how much one guy coming on does for that country. It's
oh, he raises insane. The emotion level for sure. Not unlike, I think, what we saw with Suarez for Uruguay and Mandzukic for Croatia coming off right. his one-game suspension. Those two teams look completely different offensively with their main strikers back in.
Well, exactly. And that's kind of what, I guess, surprised me so much about Colombia is that they don't have Falcao, period. And they're just getting it done. I mean, we said they'd be a good team, and we think they'd be doing well. To be honest, I'd probably have Colombia going pretty deep if they had Falcao playing.
Yes. I mean, I think they're playing your division as well, too, and I think they look more impressive than any of those teams thus far.
Right, and I think eventually it's going to catch up to them that they don't have one of the
against
top,
the Italians if it should fall
three,
that way.
Top three, five strikers yeah. in the world lining up. I guess, you know, just keep moving along here about different teams and what we've seen so far in the World Cup. Portugal.
That's all. I don't even have words for that.
That's probably a better description
the sound.
Than words can do. I don't know where to start here.
Pepe, maybe?
Pepe, Germany, Thomas Müller. They were hands down just crushed by Germany.
Yeah, our golden boot favorite really turned it up. Thomas Müller. We were in agreement on that one.
Hattie in the first game.
Unbelievable.
I had Mats Hummels in my All-Star 11 team.
I had Neymar too. Controversy aside, he still had two.
You know what though? Just quickly going back to Neymar there, he was absolutely shockingly bad in that opening game against Croatia.
And he still had
and
two
And he still
goals,
had two yeah. goals and took all the headlines.
He was nothing special.
But back to
sure.
Portugal. Hammered 4-0. Fabio Contral was injured. Pepe suspended for the rest of the
Ronaldo's the question
tournament.
Mark now.
Ronaldo, I guess now, is being told by doctors he shouldn't be playing the rest of the tournament. I'd be shocked if we didn't see him line up again because, you know, he's one of the best players
in the
world.
You got to think this favors the U.S. big time. They came off a huge win over Ghana. We differ slightly. I think U.S. were a little bit fortunate to collect the full 3 points. Mm-hmm. They defended well and gamely, but they really sat back, and Ghana really came at them, squandered a couple chances, did tie it late, and then kind of, I think, after expending so much energy to get back in the game and draw it, took their foot off the gas, and U.S. stole the full three, in my opinion. I think a draw would have been a fair result, but at the end of the day, 3 points is 3 points, Matt. They got a banged up Portuguese side. You know, the group of death, like, we had them dead to rights, possibly last place, and they may progress should they get a result here.
You know, 4 points could get the USA through this group
yeah.
all of a sudden, especially, you know, I think we've got to assume Germany are going to go 9-9 for points.
I would think so.
But then, you know, USA, I wasn't overly impressed with Ghana. I didn't think they were fantastic. I mean, going behind after 30 seconds, Clint Dempsey, great
yeah,
strike.
Yeah, they weren't
to start
switched on at the beginning, that's for sure.
You know, USA were up and down, I found. I found they played well for periods. I thought they were awful.
They did lose Jozy Altidore.
They lose
Altidore, yeah.
And he's definitely out in the next game, though Klinsmann's saying that he might be able to play the third game.
It looked bad, I can't imagine.
You don't see guys pull up like that and yeah. expect to play again.
The no contact injuries when they grab the leg, those ones always scare me.
Exactly. A couple of other notes on the USA. I thought Michael Bradley had a... I know you don't actually agree with me here. I thought Bradley had a horrible game.
Yeah, I think horrible was a bit strong. Like, he was a little erratic for my taste as well. But they did play him a little more advanced. I don't know if that's ideal for him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it does free him up a little more. And I think his offensive capabilities are a little underrated for, like, TFC, as we've touched on before in the past.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't think he was awful. It certainly wasn't his best game. I don't want to belabor a fresh wound, but I don't think he was any worse than Stevie G, to be honest.
I don't know. I'm a big Gerrard fan, but I think he's played okay the first two games. I don't think he was quite as good today. I just didn't think Bradley really had much, which is surprising because we've been to see him play here in Toronto.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we don't need to tell you guys how great he really is. I mean, we get to see that firsthand up here in Toronto. But I didn't think he was great. I guess the other thing as well, what the U.S. going to do without Altidore now? I was surprised actually. That Wondolowski didn't get the nod when Altidore went down. You know, the San Jose striker is just a goal-scoring machine in MLS. But
yeah. We've always kind of agreed on this point, too, Matt. He's been second choice, it seems like, basically forever now, if not third choice and not even on the roster with previous inceptions of this team. I do agree. I think he should feature more. I do prefer him largely to Johansson as well. But
Johansson,
yeah.
I think the thing that maybe Klinsmann likes more about Johansson is
work rate.
That, but also with Klinsmann being a European himself and Johansson being so good in Europe, he thinks, oh, well.
He puts more stock in it.
I think he puts more stock in that. And I mean, I'm not dismissing Johansson as a good player. I think he is a good player. I'm just surprised it's not Wondolowski. Maybe it's because we see Wondolowski play over here in North America, whereas we don't really see too much Johansson because he plays in the Eredivisie in Holland. But maybe that's what it is. But I don't think you can go wrong with either selection to some extent. I think they're both good. I think we said it before. I think they're going to rue not taking Donovan still. But that's, you know, that's water under the bridge now. It's not really worth
it. May come back, but I mean, at the same time, I can't really think of the last time I saw Clint Dempsey that influential.
Like, he was really good.
Yeah, I mean, I think the increased leadership and focus, it might be doing him well too. Like, I was impressed with him all game and fighting back from what, I mean, was been speculated was a broken nose. It certainly wasn't a pretty nose after the shot that he took. Not. I think that him being more involved and really a central leadership figure may bring out the best in him.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, Dempsey had his up and downs with Seattle. You know, he had a hat trick one game, and other times he disappears for a few games. But for the USA, he seems to do all right quite often. So, you know, I think the USA are in a pretty good position here. I like where they are. It's a big win to beat Ghana, especially to knock off the Demons of the last two World Cups as well. I guess another team, Rob, that I've actually been really impressed with, maybe as an Englishman, it pains me to say, but I think France have been great. They played in one game, but I think France looked fantastic against Honduras.
They did look really good.
Like, really, really good.
To me, I've always felt that I think Honduras is one of the weakest, if not the weakest team in the tournament, and they right. also went maybe down to 10, so I don't want to be putting too much into it, but I think what was really encouraging for the French side was Karim Benzema getting involved. He's the wild card for them. When he's not performing, France don't perform. When he goes, I think the ceiling for this team goes up.
I mean, he had two goals in the 3-0 win. You know, maybe some people could argue he should have had three because the own goal was technically given as an own goal.
Yeah, we should clarify that point on that own goal too, Matt. We talked when it happened in real time. I thought that the commentator was very misleading in his interpretation of it and stirring up a controversy that wasn't there. The initial review, for whatever reason, it's obviously the system they have in place, was telling us that the obvious goalpost was not in, which I think anyone, even without glasses on, if they required them, could tell. And then the second one was, you know, when he parried it with his hands, it did cross the line. In real time, in the way the commentator spoke of it, it made it seem like the machine was contradicting itself on the original goal.
I mean, for an own goal to be an own goal, the guy literally has to put it in his own net.
Yeah.
And you'll see sometimes with own goals that a guy will shoot and it'll hit a defender and go in. Now, the rule officially is if the shot's on target and it hits a defender, it's still the striker's goal. But for some reason, that rule doesn't always want to exist to some statisticians around, you know, these soccer games who credit where the goals are given. I don't know. I mean, also, as a quick side note here, this goal line technology stuff, I am literally losing it every time. There's a clear goal. The net is shaking. And it confirms just the ball's in the back of the net.
Or like, today, when Joe Hart had it out by 3 feet, they said miss when they
like,
showed it.
Thanks a lot, Sherlock. Like, I couldn't, like, I mean, maybe if FIFA were just trying to drive this down our throats that, oh, we have goal line technology now. I mean, as an English guy, where was that 4 years ago against Germany?
Oh, bitter point to swallow for my English friend over here.
France are looking good. Benzema played well. Antoine Griezmann, if for our under 25 guys to watch for the World Cup, we named three each. If I had a fourth, Griezmann would have been my guy.
He looked lively for sure.
Plays for Real Sociedad in Spain. Played really, really well. I guess quickly going back, I guess, because we touched on Portugal's struggles, but we didn't talk about how well Germany looked in that first game. We quickly touched on how Müller has been phenomenal. Had he in the first game and they just look brilliant. I mean, no way around it.
I think we've always agreed that, for sure, at least on paper, this German squad is the best squad. I never disputed.
Losing Marco Reus before the tournament. Whew.
Yeah, but they still have enough. Like,
they do. They
Klose
do.
Klose doesn't even come in. Like, Podolski barely features.
Draxler.
Like, these, yeah, they're solid players that, you know, could contribute in their own ways, and they don't even need to turn to them yet. They're so scary deep. On paper, to me, unquestionably, the German side is the most talented in this tournament.
Yeah, they're my pick to win it. And they look scary, scary good. We already knew they would be, but the domination they put on, and then Pepe deciding to get himself sent off, which was also Müller's doing too. So I think Müller was literally influenced that game the whole way. Like, three goals, got Pepe. I wouldn't say he got Pepe sent off because Pepe was a moron.
Oh, ridiculous! But, You know, Pepe and what we saw from Song in the Croatia match, we've just seen some absolutely
very selfish players.
Ridiculous cards that just put your team behind the eight ball, putting yourself before the shirt. It's really disappointing. If I was a coach on one of these teams and my player did that, I can honestly tell you I wouldn't feature him. He's showing where his head's at that point.
Yeah. Another team, I think, you know, especially for me, since I picked them to go to the final, maybe I might be regretting this pick after one game. Belgium looked awful against Algeria. They nicked a 2-1 win thanks to goals from Fellaini and Mertens, you know, within the last 20 minutes. But they look so bad, Rob.
I know. I was watching that and thinking of your choice, and I'm like, Matt, is your team going to show up any time here, or are we going to be out in two games too?
Just awful. I mean, I did not expect that to happening.
To their credit, their subs were very influential.
Well, the two subs scored.
Yeah.
It was nice to see Fellaini actually do something, because he was terrible at Man United this season.
Isn't it funny? I had that feeling when he came on that it's going to happen now on the biggest stage, and then it didn't take long, and
you're
he
right.
bags one.
Talking of another guy on the biggest stage, hey, Rob, Lionel Messi showed up to a World Cup game.
Yeah, nice to have you, Messi. Like, I mean, we always wait for him to show up, and he showed up in a big way. Yeah. We mentioned the other two goals. To me, that would be the third best goal, probably.
Yeah, he put those defenders right on their backsides. You know, I was surprised. I didn't actually think, you know, Argentina, I didn't think looked great, though.
No, very mediocre. I would tell you that the Bosnian side that I rated to come out over Nigeria, I thought, was very impressive, especially when you consider 2 minutes in, you know, the poor guy puts the ball in his own net on an unfortunate
bounce. That's the definition
bounce.
Of an own goal, guys.
Yeah, that would be an own goal. And at that point, a lot of people and myself, I also thought so, that maybe the floodgates were going to open here. It could be 4-5-0 very quickly. Bosnia, to their credit, battled back, fought hard. I think they really had the best of the game for large stretches and pulled back a goal late to make it interesting, but Messi's class just separated in them in this game. I still have Bosnia coming out of this group. I thought Nigeria were disgraceful in their first game.
Iran-Nigeria was
probably the worst game.
Worst game by mile
so far
in this World Cup. I've seen better Park League football than was on display that day.
I saw at one point, Matt, I was watching, and the commentator told me that on cross attempts, Nigeria were 0-16. How do you not even accidentally connect on one cross at some point in a professional soccer match?
I have Nigeria going through as well out of that group. So moving on, just a couple of minutes left here. I guess we've got to quickly touch on this Switzerland-Ecuador game. Absolute cracker of a match. Seferovic, 93rd minute. Game winner for the Swiss. We both like the Swiss in this tournament.
Yeah, they needed that one, I think. You, I know, waffled on the Ecuador-Swiss pick, and you're probably happy to switch over to this Team Swiss.
I eventually went to Team Switzerland, and maybe they rewarded me with that goal, but that was a really entertaining game. And I think in the end, Switzerland probably did deserve the 3 points.
Barely, I would agree that they did. I mean, Valencia made that thundering run and set up his teammate in the box there, and he just held it forever. And to the referee's credit, after they turned it over, he allowed a play on midfield, which I think a lot of people haven't talked about enough.
Yeah.
As bad as some of the officiating has been, that was a fantastic example of allowing play on. In that same match, though, I was surprised that Dermich's goal for the Swiss didn't count. I watched the replay, and on the through ball, he was onside on the initial pass, and Xhaka made the dummy in the box. And at that point, it made it look like Dermich was slightly off, but he never touched the ball, never interfered. And I read about it later as well, and apparently that goal should have stood. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe it was late justice for the Swiss. But, I mean, Ecuador's not out of it by any stretch.
No.
I'm really interested to see the Swiss-France match, to see how good this French side truly is. I think the Swiss will obviously give them a much better test than Honduras did. I thought that Honduras just played like a team of butchers in that match, really.
Yeah, they played England in a friendly, and it wasn't much prettier either. Yeah, I think you're right though. France and Switzerland, I think that'd be a cracking game. Just two teams that just like to score, kind of go forward. I think the French team has been one of my bigger surprises. I mean, I thought they'd be good. I think they'd be maybe that good. It's Honduras, I know, but
yeah, I agree with you, Matty, but I got to see a little bit more. When they beat a 10-man team, who I thought might be the worst in the tournament, and they looked very good doing so, and I think it's encouraging that their team morale is going up. It's going to be an intriguing match to watch for sure. Last point quickly, Matt, I've been really unimpressed with Brazil thus far. Mm-hmm. I think you could make an easy case that, best case right now, they should have 2 points and two draws, and they'd be really against it in the Cameroon match, but I mean, they do have time still to save it, and being the home side, I still think the potential is there for them to go deep.
Yeah, I'm not really too concerned by Brazil. You know, the Croatia game, a draw maybe might have been a bit fairer. Neymar was terrible in that game, as we said.
I just feel like they rely on him too much, too. Like,
there hasn't been enough around him.
My big
gripe with Neymar, he's so selfish with the ball.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane, actually. The Mexico game, though, I think Brazil actually played quite well, but the Mexican goalie was...
Ochoa was unbelievable.
He was phenomenal. Ochoa was just maybe probably the performance of the World Cup for a goalkeeper so far. I mean, he saved the Mexicans. You know, he got the Mexicans a point there.
You can make a case for sure. This sets up two really big matches coming up. Chile and Holland. I mean, the winner is likely to avoid Brazil. We don't want to say for sure, but probably, because we expect them to get a result against Cameroon. And that Mexico-Croatia match, which I think could go either way. Matt, I think we have a slight edge here. We're coming in this game with momentum. I'm going to say it's going to be close, but I think we'll edge them out 2-1. And I wouldn't be surprised if Chile and Holland play to a draw, with setting up Chile, Brazil, Croatia, Holland next round. But I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens with that one.
Yeah, I mean, only 2 days so far of teams have played their second round matches. So, you know, we still quite a lot to go. Yeah, I mean,
a lot more to see.
The
yeah.
group stage finishes a week today being Thursday. So there's a lot to be decided yet. You know, we're going to go home now and watch another game. I mean, this is the lovely part about the World Cup. Is
tough life watching soccer.
Absolutely, absolutely. So a lot, you know, we'll be back in a week to talk about how the group stage ended up coming out and who's going through into the round of 16.
Yeah, how it all played out. We're going to reflect on, see who did better between Matt and myself for making it out of the group stage. We'll have our little tallies going, as well as a review of the remaining games and our preview for the round of 16. Thanks for listening to Footy Roundup. We look forward to being back with you next week. Robbie and Matt, till next time, cheers for listening.